Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to look today at 2 Corinthians. Chris read this to us. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, verses 8 through 10. That's going to be kind of our home base, looking at that first. We will look at a couple of other verses that relate to this issue, but we're going to start off with this verse, and summing it all up, we see how Paul was writing to the Christians in Corinth that basically we are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. And there's a lot of times that we can kind of get down in the dumps, get a pity party going, and feel sometimes forsaken. And Paul is reminding, at least he's reminding me here, we're not forsaken. He starts off in verse 8, he says, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." You know, here, Paul paints a pretty clear picture of what was going on here in the first century. The persecutions, the ridicule that they received, the onslaught literally from every direction. As he says, we're hard-pressed on every side. You turn this way, and it's bad. I'll go this way, it's worse. Yeah, I'll go this, and it just seems like you're surrounded. We don't ever feel like that, do we? Well, we never feel that we're persecuted. Well, I tell you, we are. You look at some of the modern persecution of Christianity today, whether it be social. You just turn on the TV, and 90% of the time, or I'll just put it this way, next time you notice, I'm not going to tell you my observations, you notice when a Christian is portrayed, you just look at how the media portrays Christians. They're the oddball. They're the one out of step with what society is preaching. Because they believe in God, they're so unloving. If you disagree with somebody, you're hateful. You're racist. You're whatever. You're just a hateful hypocrite if you disagree with somebody. We need a whole lesson for the persecution that's taking place in education. I'm not talking hearsay. I'm not talking about something I've read. I've been in it for 35 years. It's pathetic. Pathetic. The way people that are anti-Christian want to weave in their agendas. It's never been into my classroom, but it's amazing. And not only the schools, all the way down to the little kids, all the way up into college. You know, and educationally, people are just being, literally, it's propaganda. It's not a different way of looking at things. It's propaganda promoting a certain thing, and it's anti-Christian. The legal aspects, we see in the news all the time where a company or a business will be sued for something, for standing up for their moral values based in the Bible. the financial issues, persecutions. I don't think I've ever experienced this personally, but I have talked to Christians that live in different parts of the country that might be dominated by other religious groups, and how Christians are persecuted financially. Not being able to get building permits, not being able, because of their religious views. Physical. Try wearing a Christian t-shirt, a Christian hat, or standing up for things you believe. See how far that gets you. Watch the physical assaults, the verbal attacks. And you didn't do anything but put on a t-shirt. Politics. There are people in politics. This is not a lesson about politics, and nor does this have a place necessarily to promote political views. But there are people in politics that have certain agendas that are anti-Christian. Case closed. That are embracing and seeking after and wanting to welcome open arms anti-religious people into their groups. That are seeking them to turn again. We are lucky to live in the United States of America in this time period, because there are Christians in other parts of the world that cannot do what we're doing right now. We've got a sign out front. We've got advertisements on media that people can look us up on the internet, find out where. That's not like that in every part of the world. It wasn't always like that in our country. But we are facing lots of persecution. And this is not a lesson for this next issue. Might be a good one down the road. The question isn't that we're facing persecution. If it gets worse, and this is just something to think about, if it gets worse, how will you handle it? How will we as a body handle it if it gets worse? If we lived in a country that we couldn't do this, would we still be doing it? Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, Paul wrote, "And not only that, but we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." We may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken. And that persecution can make us stronger. You look at the persecution in the first century. It might have lost a few. Or did they really? Did it just weed out and call out the faithful? In Philippians, Paul wrote, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Amen. This says, this speaks volumes. These few verses right here speaks volumes. One, the brethren in Philippi were worried sick about Paul. But he's been arrested. There was a close relationship with them, and they were worried. And he's comforting them. He's in jail and he's comforting them. I want you to know this is turning out okay. Because the people all around me, the guards, the whole palace guard, they've gotten the message. I may be in chains. These chains don't have me. They might have put me in chains, but they even see my chains are in Christ. I am bound to Christ, not necessarily these chains. That it's become evident even to the palace guard, who knows how he's been able to preach to them. But they've at least seen his example. And it says in verse 14, and most of the brethren, not all the brethren, every Sunday morning during Bible class, most of the brethren are going to get something out of it. During our lesson, most of the brethren will get something. Maybe not everybody. Most of the brethren, having become confident of my chains, are much more bold to speak. They see what Paul has gone through. They're trying to snuff out Paul. Remember when they arrested Peter and John? We told you not to preach. And you're at it again. We must obey God rather than men. Amen. How many followers of Christ were emboldened seeing them? Well, the Philippians were, and others. He says most of the brethren have become more confident and more bold to do the same thing I'm doing. In Hebrews 11, 35 through 40, it says, others were tortured. Talking about the prophets now. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of them, and that's how they were treated. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, there we go, the Bible class again, through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. The Apostle Peter in chapter 4 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. I find it interesting that the Apostle Peter, he's faced persecution and opposition ever since he started following Christ. He and John were arrested, told not to, let out, and then they do it again. And he's saying, don't be surprised when you face it. As Christians, you're going to. Expect it. And he goes, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, good for you. You're letting your light shine. People are knowing that you're Christians. That's an amen right there. That if people know that you're a Christian and are against you, at least they know it. You've let them know it. And he goes on to say, you know, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. The world suffers as murderers. If you're going to suffer, don't do it as a criminal. You deserve it if you're a criminal. Don't suffer as a murderer. Don't suffer as a thief or an evildoer. I don't think any of us as Christians would look down upon an evildoer going to jail, a murderer going to jail. And I find it interesting that Peter includes, don't be a murderer, don't be a thief, don't be an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Lumping that right in. I wish you could sometimes see you from me. The elbowing and the elbowing each other, you know. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in this matter. Amen. 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. We have suffered in just these last few months. We've suffered some gut punches lately. Some losses, some surgeries, some heartache. Hopefully, now that's not persecution, but hopefully we have been comforting each other just as Paul told the Christians in Thessalonica. You keep comforting each other just as you're doing. He's encouraging them and telling them, you keep doing it. You know, he's not slapping them on the wrist. You know, you need to start doing it. You need to keep doing what you're doing. I think of this group here. We've used Proverbs 27:17 in so many lessons. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. When we are persecuted, it's so much easier to go through it together. It's so much easier to go through heartache together, to lean on each other, to share, to lift each other up. I've had conversations with many of you over this. It's hard going through life. Case closed. Life's tough. I couldn't imagine going through life without Christ. I couldn't imagine going through life without my brothers and sisters. It's tough enough with them. But without Christ, I couldn't imagine it. Romans 8:18. Paul got it. Paul gets it. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Amen. If you have to weigh it all out, the suffering, the persecution, the heartache, compared to what's laying ahead for us, nothing compares. This is a brief moment. A brief moment in time. And to end up, the words of Jesus. Matthew 10:22, Jesus tells his followers, then It applies to us today. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved.
Amen.
It's not he that endures until it gets really tough. Not he that endures while it's easy, while you endure as long as you can. No, endures to the end will be saved. Jesus, the Apostle John recorded in Revelation 2:10 the words of Jesus, you know, remain faithful until death and you will get a crown of life. The lesson is yours. I just want to, what some of the things I took away from these verses that we looked at about how to deal with persecution. We have to be strong. We have to. We have to be prepared. It's going to happen. If we are Christians, it will happen. I don't know the severity, but it will happen. We need to encourage each other and strengthen each other. Circle the wagons and be there together. Pray, always pray. And you endure for God, for yourself, for your own salvation, but you're doing it for the glory of God. Lesson is yours. If I hope as we're getting ready to go into this new week, maybe we can remember these things if it comes to mind, if we need to. We're not only getting ready to start a new week, we're getting ready to start a new year coming up. We're getting ready to start a new decade. Wow. The 20s. Wow. It's hard to imagine. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin, if you have not put your Lord on in baptism, you need to. Whatever you need, if you would come forward while Josh leads us in the invitation song, we'll address your needs. Let's stand and sing.